My aunt's little ones are doing a 9-week course. And I mean, I know they're really Olic and stuff, but I just think it's kind of cruel. Because when she says sit, they sit. When she says come, they come. And now, she's teaching them tricks, like party tricks and stuff. I mean, it's exploitation. Come on, I mean, the poor dogs.
A combination meal, inspired by seven colors, there's something for everyone. Nando's, fire it up.
This is CliffCentral.com.
It's on Christmas Day.
Very nice. All right, it's time for some burning platform with Nando's and Justice Malala, who is here. Another quiet week, Justice. I don't know how we're going to find anything to talk about.
It's nothing terrible. Happens in this country.
No. I mean, first and foremost, I know you've got an agenda of things that you want to get to, but this judgment against the president yesterday is probably the one of the most damning blows.
You know what was amazing for me about that judgment? It's this. It's that after Jacob Zuma has been going to court fighting for 12 years now. In 2005, in June, the courts found Shabir Sheikh guilty of giving him money. And there were all sorts of other allegations about him taking bribes from arms dealers and so forth. The strategy he adopted then was that I'm going to fight this at every turn. There is nothing. I will fight it on technical grounds. He'd step outside court and say, I want my day in court. I can't have this cloud hanging over me. And then he'd step right back into court and say, no way are you ever going to get me in the dock. Those judges yesterday... And, you know,
Dunstan Lambo,
the Pretoria High Court said, no way, Baba. You have been doing this for years and years and years. You're playing around with the law. You are reckless. You are essentially they accuse the president of this country of using the law to frustrate justice, of using the law to run away from. From, how shall I say it?
Your responsibility. Your mess that you've made.
Exactly. So they said, thus this far and no further. 30 days you have to appoint, to make sure, in fact, not to appoint, to make sure that when Chief Justice Mokgoeng gives you a name, you immediately do the paperwork, get it all done, signed, sealed, delivered, and boom. This commission of inquiry sits. The first part of it, they really exposed him, because you remember that Jacob Zuma tried to interdict the public protector from releasing her state of capture report. What was he hiding? Anyway, they then ruled that you were being so frivolous, so malicious, so disgusting that essentially you were playing around with the law and you must pay for what you did. And in both that matter, so as Dalimpofu put it in a tweet yesterday, it was a double header. First, they ruled on the urgent application he'd made and they said, you're going to pay, Baba, mm-hmm. and you must pay. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that's going to cost. They must say he must pay out of his own pocket. And let this be a lesson to other politicians out there who think they can, I'll fight.
Which use the taxpayers' money.
Exactly. I'm just, I'll just dig in and do this and do this. Well, they ruled that you were being so reckless with the law and people's money that we can't allow you to abuse taxpayers' money. You're going to pay. Secondly, the second part of it was that on the substance, they said that not a single one of your arguments has any merit. Okay? So basically, this is a man who'd fought and fought and fought on no basis whatsoever. And they said,
You're in trouble.
You failed at every turn.
So I heard from one of my sources in the EFF that
I love the fact that you've got sources all over the
How
place.
Do you think Justice has his sources?
Of course he does. Gareth
is a bit of an EFF member.
You'll never know. You'll never know.
We'll never know, Justice.
I made the mistake once of saying I voted Cope. I will never make that mistake again. So he says to me, they're going to actually interdict Ubaba and now say to him, we know you've got no money. You're going to have to sell your stuff. And if you don't do it within this week, we're going after you. We're going to send the sheriff. And can you imagine? He'll either have a heart attack. He'll either have a heart attack, or he'll start selling his stuff.
I think that's the key to that, to what happened yesterday with that judgment and those cost orders. Is that what do you say? Where do you say if you're earning? What's the president's salary at the moment? 2 million.
2.2 or something.
2.2, 2.4. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're earning 2.4 million and there's Dalimpofu and his team coming around to your house saying, Baba, here's my bill.
Yeah.
It's
that's right.
What do advocates earn? 50,000 rand a day, 100,000 rand a day? I can tell you. Exactly.
50 grand a day.
50 grand a day. And there's Dali, very happy looking. Hi, Baba, how are you? Oh, so nice to be here. Here's my
bill. Imagine seeing that transaction. I mean, not that it's going to happen, but imagine seeing JG Zuma as a payment.
Yes. 1.6 million rand has just gone into your account.
Yeah, from JG Zuma.
From JG Zuma.
That would be great. Huh? Wouldn't that feel nice?
Oh, that would be so sweet. Mm. It would be just...
But I would actually keep the money in my account forever, just to, so I could say, I've got Jacob Zuma's money.
You take pictures of the notification.
You take the screenshot, you make sure
and you tweet it out to everyone.
There's no money that I'm going to be paying back.
But have we gotten to the point where the president is out of moves to play? Because you were the one who was telling us that what we need to realize is that every time the president encounters an obstacle, he's already thought about possible solutions 10 steps ahead of that.
Yeah. So there are two things that happened with the judgments yesterday. Mabale, usually the ANC comes out and says, you know, we note this. We'll see what happens. The ANC said yesterday, you know, we welcome this judgment. We need to move on and get clarity on state capture and so forth. But who's the ANC with 2 days to go before the ANC conference? Who issued that statement? Was it Gwede Mantashe? Well, he won't be Secretary General on by Sunday.
Well, they're all saying different things. Zizi Kodwa came out in condemnation of the president. Mm. Very strongly worded statement. I mean, this is the guy who used to be the president's spokesperson not so long ago. He said, this is the final straw, basically.
Yeah.
Then you had... Jackson Tembu in a series of tweets over the course of this week talking about the campaign itself, but he no doubt would have been on one side of the argument. And then on the other side, you had Batabile Dlamini addressing the Women's League saying the courts are trying to rule from the bench.
Yeah. The ANC Youth League in KwaZulu-Natal yesterday went and did exactly the same thing. They actually called a press conference, saying pretty much the same thing. So you don't know which ANC it is. But Jacob Zuma thrives in chaos, the chaos that has been created by this. Think about it. You don't know which
he
ANC
thrives
is speaking.
In chaos.
That's his thing. So the ANC doesn't clearly, or whatever of the ANC there may be, doesn't want him to appeal this. But this is the Pretoria High Court. It means that he can still appeal. He's gone to ground. Michael Halley has gone to ground. None of them has said a word. But I can tell you they are considering their options very seriously. And I wouldn't be surprised today if President Jacob Zuma says, I think I'm going to appeal this one. If he doesn't appeal it, I think he'll try to find a way to turn whatever judicial commission of inquiry that is appointed by, or the judge appointed by Chief Justice Mokgweng, to turn it into what happened with the Seriti Commission into the arms deal. The Seriti Commission into the arms deal ended up being a major flop simply because the judges, the witnesses didn't appear, people, the powers that it was given weren't enough, and all sorts of things went on and went on. And, has anyone been held liable, responsible for the arms deal?
Nothing.
Boom, nothing. So, Mabale, I think it's an important question what you're saying, what you're asking. What does Jacob Zuma do now? After 12 years of fighting and fighting and fighting at every point, does he still have moves? Jacob Zuma still has moves. There are two moves at play now. One is that I think he's open to... just frustrating the legal system by appealing this. knowing that it will give him another 3-4 months while it goes to the Supreme Court of Appeals. So I suspect he might do that. Secondly, he is waiting to see what happens this weekend. If his preferred candidate and his preferred slate wins, he knows that he's still got political capital. So whatever happens with a commission of inquiry and so forth, he'll have the wind on his back, and that wind brought by the fact that his side has won. And so he can politically machinate down the line to make sure that nothing happens to him. I don't think it's over. I don't think Jacob Zuma has quite run out of cards to play, and he will play them. He will play them. His bet is that all of you will get tired. That, you know, all of us will get tired, and he will still be around, still plugging away, still doing what he does best, laughing, giggling, making jokes about you, but he will still keep going. That's his strength, that he wears people down and just keeps going. There are many people saying he's a goner. He might be. I'm not ruling it out. If his preferred candidate loses this weekend, and Cyril Ramaphosa wins and gets, or the Cyril Ramaphosa slate gets about 50-55% of the votes, then I think Jacob Zuma is facing a big political problem. And that big political problem is that he will have lost power in the party. And in January, Derek Anacom is going to go into the meeting of the National Executive Committee of the ANC on the 3rd of January. And he's going to say, oh, first order of business, here's my hand, Comrade President. And that will be Cyril. President, President, pick me. And Ramaphosa will say, okay, Comrade Hanekom, what do you want? And Hanekom or Joel Netshitenze will say, the first order of business should be we recall the president.
Mm-hmm.
And that would basically cut off Jacob Zuma. Because Jacob Zuma's power has been to manipulate the ANC, hold it ransom, if you will, and use it to get rid of those who stand up against him, whether it's Mcebisi Jonas, Nhlanhlanene, Pravin Gordhan, and Makosi Khoza, and so forth and so forth. Without the ANC, Jacob Zuma is nothing, and his power dissipates very quickly. That is why this weekend will be so crucial. It's life and death for Jacob Zuma.
All right, Justice, we mentioned Jackson Tembu and the vote-buying thing. Mm. The conference is on everyone's mind at the moment. Figile Mbalula tweeted a fake photograph of money that had been intercepted. I mean, this is so embarrassing.
Wow. It's the Minister of Police.
I know. It's not just some guy. He's not just some, you know, some guy who's running a stall somewhere. This is the Minister of Police. He tweeted this fake photograph of the money, said this was intercepted. Mm-hmm. What's going on there? Is there vote rigging? Is there vote buying?
There is vote rigging. There's vote buying. And this is how it works. So there's five of us in the room right now. Mm-hmm. And if we are a branch of the ANC and the ANC came along to our branch general meeting and said, there's only five of you. There's supposed to be at least 100 of you in this room. So we then don't get to send a delegate to the conference. So that's the first layer of corruption. What happens is that some guy sitting in the Johannesburg region of the ANC then says, Cliff Central branch is not sending a delegate. So they make up a delegate for us. So suddenly we hear that actually there is a delegate going from Cliff Central branch that Mabale is already ensconced at the Park Hyatt,
yes.
Checked in on Thursday,
yes.
and we'll be going to conference on starting on Saturday morning, okay? And you sit here and say, but we didn't we didn't send a delegate. Well, no, there's a, don't worry, there's a delegate. So it's taking those branches which couldn't form a quorum. And it's very hard to get, if you take the Bryanston ANC, for example, they are very nice people and so forth, but they can't form a quorum because, you know, all of them are running their businesses, they're busy, they're working, they're professionals and so forth. So you call a meeting for 7 p.m. on Thursday evening and no one pitches up, or eight people in their 4x4s pitch up and it's like, so we can't have a meeting. But suddenly they have a delegate there. And that delegate has been told, Mabale, you are here. You're going to vote this way. This is how it's going to work. Don't worry about discussions, da-da-da. Just make sure you're there to vote, most probably on Sunday, if there are not too many things going on Saturday that delay things. So that's what's happening. In Mpumalanga, people are just appearing that, oh, yeah, you know, I see us going. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, that's great. And Gareth is going. Oh, suddenly these delegates from Cliff Central branch, which Cliff Central branch doesn't know about, are going. That is happening in the Free State. That's happening in KwaZulu-Natal. That's happening in Mpumalanga and in the Northwest.
In whose favor is that? Because is Cyril equally as guilty of dirty tricks as the NDZ campaign?
I would say the preponderance is in those provinces which support Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma. And those branches which don't support Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma seem to be the ones that are complaining about this. So in the Free State, the branches which don't support Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma and have failed to hold BGMs for one or other reason are the ones that suddenly are saying, how come there's 96 people going to conference who we don't know about and so forth. So it seems, and it was interesting for me that last night Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma said in Ekurhuleni at her final gala dinner, supported by the ANC Women's League, led by Bathabile Dlamini, who arrived 3 hours late for her own gala dinner.
What's her problem?
They were having starters at midnight. Yeah, I think it was 11 p.m.
Yes.
Don't say the ANC Women's League doesn't get down to it. It's quite something. Anyway, but as you were saying last night, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma said, we are not buying votes and so forth and so forth. But she might not be, but the people who support her seem to be doing a whole range of dodgy stuff that I think is trying to get her into power, not through... how shall I say? Not through the best means possible.
All right. So we know that this is not going to be cut and dried and easy and, you know, decently sorted out and diligently worked through. There's going to be a bit of mess.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. I think the key thing to watch will be Saturday morning. And I know that Sia is going to get up very early, get his coffee, you know, get under some blankets and put on his massive television set and watch the proceedings at Nasrec with a keen eye. The key thing is when Balakambete stands up and says, comrades, welcome, da-da-da, and one of the first things they're going to discuss is credentials. That is, who is in the room, who are they, and so forth. And I can tell you now, there's going to be challenges from the Free State people saying, you can't say the Free State is here. Well, what about branch X and so forth? In KwaZulu-Natal, same kinds of things. Again, Mpumalanga, Northwest, the Bojanala region, particularly, there'll be lots of challenges. So we could end up on that first day, people stopping and saying, we don't believe that the people who are in here are fully representative. And what that could lead to is that Dalimpofu might be waiting outside, and people say, brief him to rush off to court. Well, it will probably be Dalimpofu.
he would wait outside the ANC conference.
Well, he'd be briefed by some. It's most likely that he will be briefed by some or other branch. Actually, it will be an attorney, but an attorney would have an advocate on standby. And who best to give Jacob Zuma a clap than Dalimpofu? So there'll be an attorney waiting there. And if it doesn't work out, that attorney might go straight to the Johannesburg High Court and try to get an urgent interdict, stopping the conference from going ahead. It's a real possibility given the plethora of court cases that have been resolved that are going on against the ANC. One of them, you'll remember that Matthew Sposa was up in arms over the past week and a half, saying in Mpumalanga all sorts of nefarious shenanigans are going on. And he was told, no, don't go on with your court case. We'll settle it at the conference in the morning. So you can imagine at 8 o'clock, as you settle down under your duvet or with your big TV, Sia, Matthew Sposa and his guys will be saying, well, let's sort out my issue first. And then there'll be someone else, Thabo Manyoni from the Free State, will be saying, oh, let's sort out my issue first. And then someone else, Chana Dodovu from the Northwest, oh, let's sort out my issue first. Everyone will want their issue sorted out. Mm. So it could be a long day, and a long day of actually no proceedings, because people are fighting about who's in and who's out, who's not in, and so forth.
Do you think they'd do this deliberately as a delaying tactic?
No, I think that people have genuine concerns. I think that people have are worried that there have been in the past shenanigans. If you take the 2012 conference in particular, there were many people who should not have been in that room, who were in the room in Mangaung. If you take just a few months ago at the policy conference, you'll remember the famous case of the ANC Women's League delegates, who were men, by the way.
Yes, Justice. I remember that.
So, yes. So the ANC Women's League delegates were one man, and they had been given accreditation to vote. So they were not just... So first of all, Batabile Dlamini said, no, they are technical. So they are advising us on women's issues. Okay. So you can't find women. I mean, it would be interesting to go to Professor Pumladi Neutola at Vets or to someone else and say, so, I mean, would you be able to assist the ANC with some technical advice on gender issues? But no, they found some men to advise them. So what happened there is classic what might happen here. Someone in the ANC Women's League says, no, these are delegates, No, give them this kind of representation, and they walk in and they can vote on issues and so forth. Are those men members of the ANC Women's League? No, but clearly they were brought in, and I can bet you $50 right now, those men walked out of whatever place they were sitting in, and they were told, go and vote for radical economic transformation in the economic transformation discussions. So that is the kind of thing that's happening.
I think the follow-up to CS question is, to whose benefit would this delay be? To whose camp would suffer the most from it, and whose camp would benefit the most from it? Or would both lose?
So remember that in the Free State, for example, Puta Di Chaba branch might not be sending a delegate because they couldn't form a quorum, But suddenly
that's Mabale's branch.
They're sending me, Justice. I mean, you're forcing me to now announce it. I am the delegate that is being sent.
Okay. I thought you were the Cliff Central branch delegate. No,
no. She's actually, this shows you how corrupt it is. Mabali is in the Kwa Kwa branch, the Puta Di Chaba branch, and the Cliff Central branch. She's representing, she's voting in behalf of three.
I can do all three. No as other a members.
You're a multitasker, Mabali. Thank you very much. So, if I'm from Puta Di Chaba and I know that there's someone who should not be in conference representing me because we didn't have a proper meeting, the delay is actually to hopefully get things to work better. And it may be in Cyril Ramaphosa's advantage to allow that to go on. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people who shouldn't be at the conference will continue as if it's all hunky-dory. What that does is that a corrupt conference is given legitimacy because no one challenged these things. So in the Free State alone, there's 96 branches which are contesting this, which are saying we don't know how this came about. In the Northwest, one branch did meet and said, "Oh, this is what's going on," and so forth. This is one example of a branch. There are many others, but right next door to the school where they were holding their meeting is a tavern, is a shebeen, and guys were sitting in there, and basically mimicking or mirroring this process. And at the end, they filled in the form saying, in the school, it says, "Oh, Ben is our delegate," and so forth. In the Shebeen, it's like, okay, they've chosen him. Okay, we are putting Sia on this form. And the ANC representative then at the end says, "Okay, we're done here," and so forth. The guy from head office and the guys who are sitting in the Shebeen give him the form that needs to be filled. And that form has a name, a delegate, and so forth, who is not the person that the people at the school sign. But right. The guy doesn't know who they are. They take the form, and then it's all good and goes home. And so suddenly, you are all in the school, but the delegate who was selected at the tavern is the one whose name is on the form that goes to conference. That sort of thing. So... These challenges, I think, will come up. Look, there's a committee that's trying to sort them out. But, credentials will be a big issue on Saturday morning.
All right. The president, it turns out, according to Jesse Duarte, was planning nefarious things with Brian Molefe. Yeah. He wanted to replace Pravin with Brian, and he was thwarted. And this suddenly emerged. Remember, he lied and said to us, that was not what he wanted to do.
Yes, yeah. No, I thought we should, I mean, not to spend too much time on it, but...
Because there's so many lies to choose from, right?
Exactly. But one of the things that we were told was that, no, Brian Molefe is genuinely going to he resigned from Eskom, or he says he was retired, or whatever he says it was done, or he did, or whatever. And he goes to Parliament. He says, "No, I'm just going to serve the ANC." It's now clear that there was a grand plan to, you know, take him to Parliament, quickly sign him on, and then make him Minister of Finance. And that was frustrated. But here's the thing. What Jesse Duarte doesn't seem to realize by telling the SABC that the president did want to make him Finance Minister is that he says he never resigned from Eskom. And yet, here was the president speaking to him while he was a member of parliament, an ANC MP.
Caught in a lie.
So the man red-handed. Is now trying to fight to get 30 million rand in pension from Eskom. But the evidence is piling up. That guy, you, first of all, the state of capture report comes out and you say, "Oh, I'm resigning." And then you turn around and go to Parliament and you think you're going to be finance minister. It doesn't work out. Then you go back and say, oh, no, I never resigned. Oh, no, I never retired or whatever. I never did that. I'm still Eskom CEO. You get removed and you still fight it. And here is a member of the top six saying, oh, yeah, Zuma came to us and gave us the name. Finally, we have confirmation. And this wasn't, it's on the SABC, it's on television.
Yeah.
It's an interview with
Wasn't hidden away.
No, it wasn't hidden away. She wasn't tortured to reveal this information. She gave it to Francis Head on SABC. Boom, bam. There it is.
So they can't even keep their lies proper.
No, 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 no.
They can't even hide their lies well
enough. No, no, no. I tell you. You know, one of the things that fascinates me is how people can lie. And you know, we didn't talk about it, but there's a whole narrative that's going on. You'll know that Gaetan McKenzie has apparently written a book. I haven't seen it. It's called Kill Zuma.
You want it? Someone's passing around the PDF, which I don't agree with, but I'll send it to you in this case.
No, I think he deserves to get the money.
So. You think so?
Oh, no, I don't know if I'll buy it. But anyway, so he says he can reveal that one of the top six members of the ANC, so we'll know it's actually the top five because this is allegedly against Jacob Zuma, but that. The allegation is that one of the top five tried to poison Jacob Zuma. They said to Ubaba, hey, Baba, do you want to taste some, do you call it, he calls it ox liver. Do you call it ox liver? Mm. Here's some ox liver. Mabale, do you want to go to lunch?
I've
no place where they serve ox liver.
Not after this, because now we're worried about you poisoning people.
Today, I'm not eating. I'm not eating the whole day today.
Okay.
So thanks, though. Thank you.
Ox liver.
So they try, according to him, someone tried to poison Ubaba.
Yes, and one of the top five members. Yeah. Mm. So it we know who he's saying. He's saying it's either Baleka, it's either Cyril, Jesse Duarte, Zwelin Mkhize. Oh, Gwede. Okay. So they're at some place and he says, here's some ox liver. Do you want to try?
But we know, look, his own wife tried to poison him.
Well, this is the point I'm getting to. So we thought it was the wife.
Yeah.
Then it turns out it's the ox liver. Now, there's another narrative where Jesse has said that, Jesse Duarte has said that it's vegetables, not ox liver. But who exactly tried? Jacob Zuma went to Parliament. He was asked a question by the DA. I think it was Musi Mamani. And the question was, has anyone tried to poison you? And did you go to Russia for treatment? Jacob Zuma said he wrote it down with his own hand. Well, from his office. It said, no, I have never been poisoned. No, I have never. There has never been such an incident. Then he went to Durban, to KZN, spoke in Zulu because Zuma is only ever poisoned in Zulu, by the way. He's not poisoned in English.
Yeah.
Because he only claims he has been poisoned when he speaks in Zulu in KwaZulu-Natal. Okay. Elsewhere, he doesn't say it. So he goes to KwaZulu-Natal about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, and says, yeah. They tried to poison me and so forth and so forth. This is exactly, it's, guy, have you been poisoned or not? Is it your wife who you've now cast out or not? That woman has complained bitterly that she keeps on being accused and accused and accused. Now we find out that it's ox liver from one of the top five. So the point I'm just trying to make is that there's a narrative that's sort of, oh, you know, people try to kill Zuma and so forth and so forth. If you take that and you take the fact that on October 27, Erica Gibson of Rapport has now revealed to us that the SANDF started training and training for a state of emergency, there is a securocratic play that's going on that seems to say we are in danger, we are in danger, and all of you need to know you're in danger, so to protect you I might need to institute a state of emergency, which is absolute rubbish. There is no danger to the state or to anyone, and all these claims unsubstantiated, no one's brought a shred of evidence about it, are being peddled largely by Jimmy Manyis, or shall we say the Guptas as ANN 7. But nothing is put on the table, and no one is actually, no finger is pointed saying, you know, it's Gareth or it's this person who did this.
I do think it's worth giving credit. You've already mentioned Dunstan Mlambo, but I think it's also worth saying that the judiciary as a whole at the moment is a shining light, and the only real guardians of the Constitution left.
Thank you. I think...
And Thuli Madonsela.
I think the institutions that have made me most proud in this country, Thuli Madonsela and the Public Protector's Office, were amazing, have been amazing. And seeing her yesterday in court, sitting next to Godrej Gadi of the EFF, and just what she did. What the courts did yesterday, what Dunstan Mlambo and that full bench said, was essentially that this is exactly how the law works. And she, in that state of capture report, got it down pat. It was like, boom, you've done it. You've done it. I can't tell you, as a South African, it's wow. You know, it's wow. It's a privilege to be alive with Thuli Madonsela being around. These people are amazing. And I think Dunstan Mlambo and the judgments, two judgments yesterday, and the judgment last week, which led to Bathabile Dlamini, a low-level genius of note, to say all these things that she said about the judiciary, tells you something.
You know, if you look at the contrast between someone like Thuli Madonsela and someone like Bathabile Dlamini, there's just a football field of difference.
The point about that contrast is that
the one is a woman. There is real black excellence there. There is a genius. There is a woman who's just never stopped learning, who adds value to everything that she does. There's a woman who's held in high regard by everyone, and who is a person who, of ethical and moral substance. And then there's Thuli Madonsela.
You know what the tragedy is? The tragedy is that we should be straining to get people like Thuli Madonsela back into public service. That woman should have gone from...
But in a rotten system, someone like Thuli... stops the flow of cash.
Exactly. And
so that doesn't suit kleptocrats.
So she's hounded out. Yeah. She is all these disgusting
things. Look at Treasury. Treasury's been stripped out. All the good people, exactly. All these talented, brilliant people who've helped to make what we have built in the last 22 years work are gone. Because they're an impediment to thievery.
Exactly. So that's the tragedy of what we're seeing. But we mustn't forget those people. They're amazing. Oh, sure. They're incredible. And they remind you that South Africa is a great and can be a great place.
Justice, Mangaung Water, what is that?
Oh, no. This
do you know anything about this?
No, this is just a story for our friends, you know.
In the Free State.
From the Free State. Those who might have relocated.
Originally, everyone is originally from the Free State.
We're all from the Free State.
No, I am from the Free State, and I take exception to your attacks on the Free State of late.
Ask your chairperson, Ace Magashule, to come and fight with justice. What about the Free State now?
Oh, no. This was a mistake, but it was a delicious one.
Delicious.
It was a delicious mistake. I enjoyed it so much. I just thought that we should just have a little go at it. So the Mangaung municipality ordered some water, some bottled water. And Sia, please, we need water in studio. Huh? So, you know, maybe you should do this. So they ordered some water, and the invoice came back, and it was, they had ordered 240 bottles of still water, 240, 500 mils. 450 rand a bottle. Mm-hmm.
Wait. Sorry, I just got that. 150 rand for one bottle.
One bottle
of one still bottle water.
Of still water.
That's a lot of money.
What's
the price of gold again?
What I want to know is
what kind of water do you get in Mangaung?
Maybe Pastor Mborro has blessed that water.
Is there gold in it? How many bottles, Justice?
240 bottles.
240. Mm. That is 36,000 rand just on water.
Yeah. Oh. 150 rand a bottle. This small bottle of
Mangaung water.
Anyway, my good friend Kundile Katama, who is the spokesperson for the city, has clarified it. So apparently it's not true, and I believe Kundile. It's not true that they paid 150. He says they paid for 240 packs of water. And so a bottle is 10 rand, which is what you and I would pay.
That sounds more like it.
Yes, but I'm wondering, why did that invoice say they paid 240 bottles at 150 rand a bottle? Mm. But I believe Tondile, and I'm going to leave it at that. But I'm traveling to Mangaung in January, and I'm gonna just stop, buy some water.
Yes.
And just sample it, because I mean, Mabale,
our water is special. It's good. It has magical powers.
Mm.
Okay, it heals. Mm.
Do you remember that story about the Free State when they paid, how much was it? 76 million rand for a website that you can construct for 1,200 rand WordPress. So they paid 76 million rand. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying that it's the Free State. I'm just saying, you know what? It's lovely, the water.
Okay, all
in
right.
Mangaung.
Justice, thank you for another excellent burning platform. It's the last one of the year.
It is.
So have a happy holiday and get some rest. And of course, we'll check in with you on the ANC conference and all its results in the new year. But if there's anything that's breaking that you feel that we need to talk about, you know, you can always just call us.
Yes, absolutely.
From whatever beach you're on, whatever fantastic place you've gone to.
Well,
wherever you might be doing what Ben thinks are nefarious things.
But you'll definitely be in Nazareth this week.
I'll be at Nazareth. I'm
front row seat.
So you got to know that 4,000 journalists have applied for
4,000.
4,000 apparently have applied for accreditation. Apparently only 1,000 are being allowed in. But this is just in terms of the ANC. In 2007, in fact, in 1997, I sat there and watched Nelson Mandela give his opening speech in Mafikeng. I didn't go to Stellenbosch in 2002. I went to Polokwane in 2005. There I was watching Thabo Mbeki. 2012, watching Jacob Zuma. And this year, for the first time, they're not allowing journalists into the plenary. They're allowing a small number of journalists and mainly camera people, but not. So I won't be watching Jacob Zuma up close and personal. As you know, I like to get fairly close with Jacob. So I won't be watching him up close and personal. I'll be out somewhere right at the back, cordoned off, and checking it out on a small monitor somewhere. Which is very, very sad.
Just on the Gate and McKenzie book, someone tweeted me and said, "Only in South Africa can a convicted fraudster think he has the credibility to tell us anything, and only in South Africa can a thug know more about a delinquent president than its media."
I think that's said it beautifully. All of it. So anyway, I will be at Nazareth. The conference is supposed to end next Wednesday on the 20th. I suspect if there are all these challenges, it might end sooner or it might end later. Mm. So think about me on Christmas Day as you tuck into your turkey.
You might be stuck at Nazareth.
I'll be there with Jacob Zuma, you know. "Oh, how's your turkey, sir? It's all good, comrade. We're waiting for the court results."
But you're not getting up close and personal this time, so, you know. So you can't even ask him how his turkey is.
No, God. So no,
things aren't looking up.
Well, thank you, Justice.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Have a good Christmas.
Justice Malala and the Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's. It's now 9 minutes to go until 8. Coming up in a moment, Digital Campus with Mabali. She's going to tell us all about what she is interested in studying. There are these short courses that they offer as part of WITS's curriculum, and Mabs will share all of her info on that with us next. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.
Growing up, my parents always insisted that I had to get a degree. These days, I still find it difficult to find the time, money, and courses to satisfy that expectation. In the previous episodes, I have discovered that studying online can solve many of these issues. Now it's time to find out all about these short courses. To help answer my questions, I spoke to Gavin Olifir and Busiswe Ramekwe from Digital Campus. I've always had a slightly negative perception on short courses and didn't think they held the same prestige as a full degree. But as the world is changing, I've noticed a slight shift in this thinking. So I asked Busisiwe if it was a common misconception.
Short online courses have not always been popular. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents, as you say, have said, get a degree, get a degree. But the world is changing. A lot of things are changing. A lot of people now want to study to work. They don't have 3 years to study, then look for a job. It's hard enough getting a job right now.
Yeah.
People need to be work ready today.
Busisiwe continues explaining the benefits of short courses.
A short program allows them to do that. It allows them to be ready today, and it allows them to work and study. So they get to study all these things, but also have a practical sense of it in the workplace. And you find that a lot of millennials, which are making much of today's workforce, get into the workplace fresh out of university. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to communicate effectively. They don't know the right tools to use when communicating, and they're stuck. They've got the degree. They've got all the education, but they don't know how to use it. And short courses help them do this. It helps them get ready right now for the business world.
Often I find that when I go looking for something online, I get overwhelmed by the choices and options available. Could finding the right course be this difficult? I pitched this concern to Gavin.
The internet has really, you know, broken down barriers. You've got access to the internet. You can study at a university in Russia, you could study at a university in Scandinavia, or you could study at a university back home in South Africa. So there is no more reason and no more obstacles in your way to study. I think in the South African context, you certainly want to be knowing that you are studying with an accredited institution. So do your homework would be my advice to the listeners.
So what worked for previous generations might not work today in this fast-paced digital world. Perhaps taking your studies online is the way of the future. It's easier, cheaper, more accessible, and quicker, and you can find a short course to fit your needs. For more information, visit digitalcampus.co.za and follow this podcast on cliffcentral.com.
That's right, you can get that podcast and all the previous episodes in the Digital Campus series. If you're interested in studying, you know, this time of year you get a chance to think about your life, think about what you're doing, and maybe, just maybe, you want to start your January by, I don't know, improving your mind, getting a qualification you don't already have. Maybe this is exactly the time to strike. So put it in your reminders on your phone, and in January, go and visit the people at Digital Campus and see what you can find. And by visiting, I mean you just go to the website and you can find everything that you need to know about all their short courses that they offer. And for all you know, you could get exactly the information that you need to become that much better at either running your own business, doing the job that you already do in someone else's business, or doing something completely different that you wanted to do for a long time but you didn't necessarily have the skills to do. It's all there, it's all available, and it's easier than you think. Digital Campus on cliffcentral.com. time for us to wrap it up with the unnews for this morning, and we will go into an interview that we did with Freddie Devas, who is the producer of BBC's Planet Earth 2, which is still one of the most beautifully filmed, most beautifully made productions I have ever seen, and something which I have on DVD now. I don't buy any DVDs anymore because, you know, what can't you get on the internet these days? But this is one that in HD is spectacular to watch. And now that you've got a bit of time at this time of year, it's also something that you might want to indulge in, just to remind yourself that you're part of a kingdom of animals and living creatures that could only have evolved on this planet and could only have come into being because of the amazing diversity and the perfect climate and the most incredible Goldilocks zone that we exist in. It's really, really beautiful, and it's worth having a listen to what Freddie had to say when we had an interview with him just a little bit earlier this year. By the way, also, Touchbase Pro, I mentioned this to you yesterday, they do newsletters, and if your company has a newsletter that they want to start farming out to a bunch of clients, maybe your own staff, maybe your partners, whoever it might be, you can send the best newsletters that could be tailor-made to your liking and to the liking of your audience. They're used by the Daily Maverick, by us at Cliff Central, by SA Guide Dogs, Momentum, the JSE, Cancer, One Day Only, and Imperial. You can book a demo with them. They'll share their screen with you. See for yourself. There's no commitment on your side. Just go to touchbasepro.com and click book a demo. That's touchbasepro.com. Here's the news, or the unnews, for this morning. The ANC conference is about to take place, and tensions are as high as delegates come together to decide who the next party president should be. To quell any drama, though, the ruling party's booked. That would be funny. They've booked Vladimir Putin as a guest speaker. Vlad will be entertaining the crowd with stories of growing up in Russia, making his country independent of the West, and what they need to do going forward as his new puppets. Very exciting. We didn't know they'd booked that for entertainment. ANN7 are gearing up for the ANC conference in their own way. They will be the first to break the news of the party's new president. But they deny knowing the result already. They said it is impossible to know the outcome yet, as most of the bribes will only take place on Friday night. And finally, Chris Froome has returned a positive doping test, something he attributed to his asthma. Lance Armstrong has jumped on the story, saying he also had asthma. It was so bad that he had to physically replace his blood to overcome with all the problems. Russia has come out claiming that their entire country also suffers from bad asthma, and they sympathize with Chris Froome during this very tough time. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have a good day with cliffcentral.com. Thank you, Ben. See you, Mabs. Here is our discussion with the man who made, or one of the producers of, BBC's brilliant Planet Earth 2, Freddie Devas.
This is cliffcentral.com.